there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The secret to catching prize-worthy fish? Fishing like a local. Jonas Knox here with Fishing Booker. The valuable knowledge of a local guide can turn a fishing trip of no bites into the best catch of the day. Go to fishingbooker.com to discover thousands of local fishing charters from all around the world and create your perfect angling adventure with their easy-to-use online booking system. Visit fishingbooker.com and book your trip today. Fishing Booker. Fishing trips made easy.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Outkick the coverage with Clay Travis live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Right off the top, I stayed up late last night watching Damian Lillard, who nobody can defend. I mean, this was even beyond Steph Curry level crazy. I felt like I was watching a high school game where there's one really good player and you just do whatever you can to get the ball out of his hands. I mean, at one point, he shot it basically from the NBA logo because they weren't up close enough on him. And his performance ever since he missed the two free throws down the stretch against the Clippers has really been out of control. I don't know what's going to happen now. For those of you who didn't stay up late last night, we've got the Portland Trailblazers who went 6-2 and are the overall number 8 seed, and they have to beat the Memphis Grizzlies one time. The Grizzlies would have to beat them twice in order to avoid losing that situation, right? So the Trailblazers are, at this point, a big favorite to be going up against the Lakers. And I don't think the Trailblazers can defend anybody. It doesn't seem like they have any interest in doing it. But their season came down to a step-back jumper from Caris LeVert that was a little bit off. Otherwise, the Blazers would have been done. But instead, I think they're going to go up against the Lakers, like I predicted when all of this started a while ago. In the bubble, and so effectively we're set with every matchup in the NBA playoffs, and we'll see how that ends up turning out. There are a bunch of other different stories that I think are also interesting and hitting, worth hitting right off the top. First of all, also let me let you know about everything we have headed here. Frank Isola is going to join us in hour one to talk about a little bit of everything. John Morosi, our Major League Baseball insider, will be with us in hour two. And then I had a great conversation with Will Cain, formerly of ESPN. Now he has joined Fox News. And I think you guys are going to love that. It's a long-form conversation, about an hour and a half discussion the two of us had earlier this week. But we pulled a short segment out of that. So we've got a loaded show for you. I mean, just a ton to get into. But so the Portland Trailblazers survive. They get past a really hard-fought Brooklyn team. And honestly, I was watching Brooklyn play. I'm thinking, how good are they going to be when Kevin Durant and when when Kyrie Irving are back healthy, I mean, that team is going to be a legitimate threat in the Eastern Conference, especially if LeVert keeps playing like he was at the end of the game. He couldn't be defended, really, by anybody on the Trailblazers. So, also, a couple of other different stories that I think are interesting and worth hitting. I keep beating the drum on this story because I think it's absolutely absurd. The Big Ten and the Pac-12 deciding to cancel their college football seasons. I can't get over this. Many different Big Ten campuses now are going to allow intramural sports. Okay? They won't allow games to take place involving multiple colleges in the Big Ten, right? They canceled all sports for the fall, but they are allowing their kids on campus to play intramural sports. And I'm just sitting around, this doesn't add up, particularly in the Big Ten, where all the students are coming back to campus, they're living in dormitories, the college athletes are going to be able to work out for 20 hours every week, and if you are just a regular college kid, you now can play intramural sports. How in the world is this possible? And I'm not begrudging the kids who want to play intramural sports and try to win that t-shirt at the end of the season. I played a lot of intramural sports over the years, but how in the world are you allowing sports to take place on campus and all of the other activities to take place on campus, and you're not allowing your athletes to actually play games? There's no rhyme or reason to this. There's no logic whatsoever. It's absolutely insane. I look at it and I kind of, my eyes want to roll back in my head. I'm like, what in the world are they actually doing here? None of this makes remote sense at all. I don't get it in any way. I think it's worth really diving into. And really, legitimately, I think every single media member out there should be asking the question, what is the Big Ten thinking? I don't agree with the decision from the Pac-12 to shut down sports for the fall, but at least many Pac-12 schools aren't going to have on-campus students. That is at least logically consistent. I don't agree with it. My kids are in kindergarten in person. My oldest son goes to seventh grade this morning in person. I've got one kid who's having to do remote learning right now. But if you have a situation where you're shutting down the entire campus, I can kind of understand how sports wouldn't be taking place. But what in the world are they thinking on Big Ten campuses with kids back, dormitories open, cafeterias open, and you're going to allow intramural sports? It doesn't make any sense at all. Now, I started off, and idiocy is really kind of driving me crazy here. I don't know if you guys saw this, but Mark Cuban, let me shift back to the NBA here for a sec. Mark Cuban came after me, and I'm going to talk a little bit about this during the course of the show. Mark Cuban, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, slid into my Twitter mentions and came after me when I pointed out how bad the NBA ratings were. And just because I think the NBA ratings are bad doesn't mean I don't watch the NBA myself. I mean, I watch every sport. I watch Major League Baseball every night pretty much. I watch the NBA some pretty much every night. I even watch a little bit of hockey every night so I can make sure that I'm not missing out with all this buffet of incredible sports that we have right now going on in the month of August. But I extended an invite to Mark Cuban to come on this radio show. Because Mark Cuban came after me, slid into my mentions, and he was trying to defend the NBA and the ratings and everything else. And I said, Mark, here's the deal. I believe the NBA is, in my lifetime, the most hypocritical league in the history of American sports. They are claiming to care about social justice while taking billions of dollars from Chinese Nazis. And Mark, you're welcome to come on this radio program. Unlike in China, and unlike in the NBA, the First Amendment is alive and well on this radio program. I invite people all the time on this show who don't agree with me to share whatever opinions they might have. So I'm publicly offering Mark Cuban an opportunity to come on this program. I also tweeted it out. You want to slide into my mentions and you want to take shots at me and our audience and everything else, that's your right. But step into the arena, step into the ring, and come on this show live and make your arguments and answer the questions that I have, and I'll answer any questions that you have. I'm a First Amendment absolutist. I'm not going to run from anybody. And Mark Cuban is firing shots at me. The truth of the matter is his league is alienating a lot of people, and we saw it already. If there were fans present, I think it would be even more noticeable. MLS had a game in Dallas between Dallas and Nashville, and I'm surprised this is not getting more attention. They only had like 3,000 fans present. But when all the players kneeled before the game started, the crowd booed and started to chant USA, USA, USA. That's soccer. Not exactly a conservative audience usually that's watching soccer. Deciding to make political statements is a bad look for most leagues, and I think it's going to hurt the NBA going forward.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Jonas Knox, and you know O'Reilly Auto Parts, you know, O'Reilly, who are in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you'll find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, friendly. And by the way, I was just at O'Reilly not that long ago, within the last month, and guess what? Needed some help with the alternator, had some questions with the batteries. They helped me right away and did it right there in the parking lot. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit them at OReillyAuto.com/2pros. That's OReillyAuto.com/2pros.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey, it's Jonas Knox. All right, game off. We got to pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying, flag on the play. You already talked about that, but there's just so much good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for time tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. Unique stickers you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes. Cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. Hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their new unique mini games like Digging for Treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go, so get off the bench and go download it now free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on! Hey, it's Jonas Knox. You've put it off long enough. It's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort. Performance tires for sporty handling. All-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation. The right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Michelin tires. Shipped fast and free to a recommended installer installer near you, or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office and install them on site. It doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/sports to see their Michelin test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews. And be sure to check out all the current special offers. Great tires and a great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/sports. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
Welcome back, Geico Outkick Studios. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. Usually Frank Isola joins us on Thursday, but we had the governor of Texas on Thursday in his usual spot, so he was gracious enough to join us now on Friday morning. You've probably been bumped for worse than the governor of Texas, I would imagine, in your career, well, Frank, because I certainly have.
Well, I was going to ask you. They always say in the business, that's a good get. So when you get the president on the phone, so in terms of gets, where do I rank after you get the president of the United States? Where am I in the top 10? Do I crack the top 25, the top 100? Where am I in that ranking?
On the flow chart? Well, you know, it's like I usually do an interview with my friends at Jocks in Birmingham, and everything was so wacky after I did the president interview on Tuesday that I was like, well, I'm going to go to the gym and work out. I've got a lot of energy, obviously. I want to get away from my phone for a little while because it blew up. You know, everybody kind of giving me feedback on that literally the minute we hung up with the president. And I totally forgot that I had a segment scheduled with them. So, that you know, having done radio, one of the challenges in radio is when you have a guest segment set up and, like, you tease it and you're ready to talk about a certain subject and then your guest doesn't show up. So I try to never miss, right? Like, if I say I'm going to be somewhere for a radio hit, and you're great about this, I think people who do radio are typically pretty good about that because you know how challenging it can be to build the idea of a segment, not to mention what it sounds like, and then you lose somebody. So I felt bad about that, but they immediately were like, oh, you get the president of the United States on, you've been doing our show for years, and you missed the first time ever. Like, I was just in the gym. I was just kind of rattled about the whole process. It was so so unique. And I said before, Frank, I was so concerned, not about the interview, but just, like, would our tech work? Would his phone drop in the middle of the interview?
Yeah.
You know, would something go wrong with my audio and we can't, like, I'm talking and I can't hear the president or the, like, I was only concerned about the tech background, right? Because if you told me, hey, everything's going to go smooth for 20 minutes and the president's going to talk with you, I wouldn't have been very nervous at all. But all of the tech aspects, like, I just didn't want us to fall flat on our face and screw it up.
Have you been nervous, like, interviewing, whether it's a professional athlete or a head coach? Like, if you know, is there one person when you've interviewed them, you're thinking, man, kind of those same things. You don't want any technical issues to go wrong, but you're just getting nervous. And then you probably stop to think to yourself, what am I so nervous about? I'm just talking to basically somebody over the phone. Has that ever been the case?
I was nervous about, like, it's nervous and also excited about the president because I don't know how many times in your life you get to interview the president. And I think early in my radio career, before I had ever spent much time doing interviews on the radio, we had some big names and maybe I was a little bit nervous or apprehensive just because I was new to the radio game. Right. But I haven't been nervous and I was nervous. Somebody asked me, it's a good question. I think I talked about this a little bit with Will Cain on our podcast. I'm curious for you too. I get nervous when I haven't done something before. So I'll give you a couple of examples for television. I had never been in a television studio doing a show until we did the Fox College Football kickoff show that launched FS1 back in, I think it was 2013. So that's now been 7 years. But I had literally never been in a television studio in my entire life. And so the night before we were doing that live for the first time, I was super, super nervous. Right. Just I've never done live television in a studio, and then we're debuting with a 2-hour live television show. And so that is just like it's a very, like, and you've done television now in studios, but it's a very different feel than what maybe you're used to before. So I was nervous about that. I would say I was nervous, like, the first time that I was going to go do radio for 3 hours because I hadn't done it before, both solo for this show. And also solo, I did a weekend show for NBC Sports, but even as part of a trio, when I started doing radio daily, I was nervous about that. It's always things that I haven't done before, which I think are important challenges. And I've never obviously interviewed the president before, but I'm curious for you. I don't really get nervous in any way about things that I've done before. It's always something new, a new challenge that kind of factors in. And I'll give you another one that was pretty wacky. We did, and this is still crazy to me, that same year in 2013, somebody got sick and we had some time to fill because there was a weather delay. And they set me down at FS1 live on television during a halftime and during weather delays and said, hey, we're doing highlights. You're going to have to lead some of these highlights. And I was like, okay. I had, like, Frank, I was so green. I didn't even know that when you did highlights, like I had never sat at the highlights desk. I didn't realize there was a monitor built into the highlights desk so I could look down at what was happening on the screen and talk about it as it was occurring. I had never done that in my life, and I did it live on television with FS1 with a bunch of time to fill. And so I didn't have time necessarily to get nervous about that, but I'm like, how many people have never done a highlight before in their life, and then they get set down at a table and you're doing it live on the air on Fox? And later they were like, hey, that's what Fox does. They throw you in, at least back then, I don't know if they still consider it, but they would throw you into the water and just find out whether you were going to sink or swim. And so, you know, you're not even have enough time to even think about necessarily what's going on. But all those that I just kind of ran through are things in my media career that I had never done before. What about you? Have you, like, do you get nervous still when you do PTI or something like that? Or is it so second nature now that you're kind of used to it?
I'm down here in D.C., in fact, right down the street from the White House. The other day you had the some guy rush the Secret Service police and they shot him. So that wasn't too far from where I am. But doing PTI in D.C. is easy because I'm usually in the studio. Here they're doing it because social distancing. Michael Wilbon's in one studio, I'm in another. So when you can't see the person, that's difficult. Plus, there are some times when they show me on the screen, so I'm looking at myself as I'm talking, and it's, like, mortifying. Like, it's so, like, I could see myself on TV if I'm in a bar. The worst thing is to, like, hear yourself and see yourself at the same time. I've always said this about all these movie stars. I don't know how they go to a premiere of their movie and sit in a crowded movie theater and see themselves on a gigantic screen. I would never be able to do that. There's no chance I'd be able to do that. But that's, I don't know if it's being nervous. It's just a little bit tougher. But I prefer, when you do live TV, the one thing about it, you're more on edge, like you're more alert because you know there's kind of not a fallback and you kind of have to just forge through it, even if you made a mistake. But you mentioned the highlights, and this is what I think works with the TNT crew when they're doing the NBA highlights. All right, so the other night you had a game with Damian Lillard where there were certain plays where you have to specifically talk about them. The three-pointer that he made to tie the game up at 130, that was the one that went straight up in the air and came down. Then the offensive foul that he drew on Trey Burke. Those are particular plays where you don't want to break them down. But for the most part, what TNT does, they're showing highlights of a game that most people already watched.
Right.
So they don't really go through like each play. So as they're showing the highlights, I think it's always funny where Barkley just starts talking about something random. So you're kind of watching the highlights, but you're listening to what they're talking about. It could be like anything. And it just works sometimes, as opposed to the traditional on the 6 o'clock news, the sports anchor is showing highlights of a game that maybe a majority of people didn't see. So the highlight thing is not easy to do, but it's a lot easier to do if the highlights are just running and you're just talking about something random from the game.
Yeah, and you pointed out something that I think is also interesting. When you're taping versus when you're live, almost all the time with our TV show, we're live. But sometimes we tape. You know, if we're in studio or there's something going on that they want to get on camera earlier. And I always think you can tell, at least I can, the difference between a tape segment and a live segment. Because taped, in the back of your mind, you're like, hey, if I screw it up on television, we can go back and we can adjust it. And you don't have the same electricity. Does that make sense? Because you're basically tap dancing on, you know, above especially in our era that we're in now, when you're doing live television or live radio, like we do a lot of, there's no safety net, like you were talking about earlier. So you're trying to walk across the rope and there's a lot of, there's a lot of crocodiles below you and everything else. And there's an excitement and there's a tension to it that doesn't necessarily exist, I think, particularly in television, when you know, like, you're taping. We taped, I did a college football Friday night show, which I still think is just a, a gold mine of a market, because I think there's lots of people sitting around on Friday night who are eager for college football to get there. But we did that, and we would tape it, and I liked it. But what I would always say is, I want to go straight through. Like, if we're going to tape, let's go straight through 2 hours. Like, let's try to be as efficient as possible, because I hate spending more time doing something than you would if you were doing it live. And sometimes they're like, oh, we messed up a graphic, let's come back. What I have found, I'm curious if you do as well, is most people don't notice the subtle imperfections or the subtle inaccuracies. That's something that, you know, people get obsessed with when they're watching, you know, producers or whatever else. But the average viewer, I think, kind of accepts the fact that things are not always going to go perfect. And just rolls with it.
And I think that was the one thing when they started doing PTI was they liked the idea, because they looked at it this way. These are two newspaper guys, not technically trained in doing television. And that's why they have this segment where if they made a mistake, they're kind of upfront about it. They said, we screwed up. And how many times does Tony or Mike look down at a note that they gave? So as opposed to trying to pretend, see, I'm an expert on everything and I remember everything, they look at their notes, because reporters do that. So it makes it a lot more authentic. I think you're right. When it's, you know, if you're looking for the show to be perfect, shows aren't always going to be perfect. And I think that's probably one of the things that works with PTI.
PTI is the most successful sports television show of all time, other than like SportsCenter, right? I mean, a personality, opinion-based driven show. Do you think there will – because I kind of look at PTI now, and I loved Kornheiser and Wilbon. I think we've talked about this before. I went to college in D.C. before they were television superstars. They were two of the most talented columnists anywhere, right? So I would watch, read their columns every day in the Washington Post and just be blown away by how smart, funny, witty those columns were. And they really kind of drove the national conversation in the nation's capital. And the Washington Post at that time was just such an incredible newspaper in general with everything that it would have. It was a quarter. I'm going to sound like an old man now, but it was a when I started college, you could get the Washington Post for a quarter. And it was, you know, the internet was just starting. We didn't even have the internet in most of our dorm rooms. So the newspaper still had primacy. But I think, what year did PTI start? Like 2000, something like that, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah.
I'm not sure, and I'm curious if you think, do you think there will ever be another influential television show as influential as PTI, or did they hit the market at the perfect time? They've obviously developed a huge audience over the years. I'm just not sure that we'll ever see another show as influential as PTI.
Yeah, and I think, you know, because to your point, they're not coming into television as 25-year-old guys. They're coming in when they're, you know, late 40s, early 50s, and, you know, the whole thing of the newspaper columnists, if you think about it now, a lot of those guys really don't exist anymore, and these guys were covering everything. Like I mentioned to Mike yesterday, we were talking about the five overtime game in hockey, and I said, you know, I like hockey. I said, you can't have a five-hour game, especially in game one of the playoffs. I said, Mike, remember that game in 87 when the Islanders played the Caps? It was a game seven. It went to four overtime. I said, yeah, I was at the game. In fact, me and Tony were both at the game. Like, those guys were actually out there covering stuff all the time. So you don't really have that general columnist. I'll give you a perfect example of the whole general columnist. If you go back to, which was a great story, the Lou Williams, Lou Wings, as we all call him now, right? It blew me away that there wasn't one national columnist or even one NBA columnist that didn't write, the NBA has to make an example of Lou Williams, they have to just send him home and tell him your season is over. Yeah. Like, if this were 10 years ago, at least five people would have written that. Like, this is how so much it's changed, I think, for the columnists, too, because you and I have spoken about this. I think it's such an access-driven climate that we live in now. Nobody wants to tick anybody off. I might be ticking the league off a little bit. Maybe not so much Lou Williams, because do you really need Lou Williams and, you know, to be like a, you know, a source or whatever the case may be? Maybe I don't want to tick off the Clippers. But 10 years ago, forget 20 years ago, there would have been a lot more people. It's just a lot different now. I was shocked that not one person wrote, because it wouldn't have been the most outrageous thing. He violated the rules, and listen, we're all adults here. I'm sure he loves the Wings there. There's other things that he loves there, which is why he went there. Could one person write that the NBA should make an example of him? All this money they're spending for a bubble, you're out. You're done.
We're talking to Frank Isola at the Frank Isola. Does a great job on PTI. He's down in D.C. right now. obviously all week the big topic, I would say, if you're talking about big sports topic, has been college football. The Big Ten, the Pac-12 cancel. It appears the ACC, the SEC, and the Big 12 are going to stay strong. I know you're based in New York. The Notre Dame has a huge fan base in the New York area. They always have. They're still going to play. They may be the only Midwest school with a substantial following that is going to play. What do you think the impact is? How much attention did you see being given to the college football story? And what do you think the long-lasting impact here is, assuming that the SEC, the ACC, and the Big 12 play and the Pac-12 and the Big 10 sit out? Big story through the fall, or is it a little bit like Major League Baseball where, oh my God, the Marlins test positive and everybody's like, we got to cancel Major League Baseball season, but then as soon as things start to calm down, it's like the people out there saying baseball has to be canceled disappear too. What do you think the impact here is going to be as we move closer to the fall?
I think it's huge. I definitely think it's huge in the Midwest, but there's also a chance, you know, the Final Four teams would have been Clemson, Alabama, another team from the SEC, and maybe Oklahoma. So those would have been the teams anyway that made it. I do think it just shows you the power of college football, that you had the president chiming in, you had senators, governors chiming in, obviously the players and the coaches. You know, my daughter plays soccer in the Big East, and, you know, she knew basically 2 weeks ago that there probably wasn't going to be a season. They announced it yesterday that fall sports are off in the Big East. I think what's going to happen is, I've always felt all along the SEC was going to play, and it seems like these other conferences are committed to playing. And I think what Ryan Day said yesterday about wanting to play in January, I think if college football and these other conferences get off to a good start, I can see these other conferences thinking, you know what, maybe we could pull this off. Obviously, on the West Coast, it's not going to be a problem with the weather, but you know what, who cares? Football's played in cold weather, and that's something maybe the Big Ten schools will have to do. So I think if they are able to pull it off in these other places, maybe they will play football. I think that, you know what was an interesting part of it? Let's say there was no college football. You have to figure the NFL would have thought, maybe we'll get two games on a Saturday. If
100%.
Not three games, we could have national games Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Think about that.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. And even figuring out now, I mean, if you look around the television landscape, so Fox, for instance, and FS1 have the Big Ten, they have the Pac-12, and they have part of the Big 12, right? So let's take the Big Ten and the Pac-12 off the horizon. What do they do with the Big 12? Do they put more of their games on? Do they figure out a way to get them into more primetime viewership? And then for ESPN, they've got the ACC, they've got the SEC, and the Big 12. Yes, losing out on the Big 10 will hurt them. Losing out on the Pac-12, they've got a part of that too. But this is a pretty big deal, I think, to be able to preserve their calendars. I don't think there's any doubt. If the NFL had the option to ride in and take over Saturdays for college football this season, they would do it in a heartbeat. And I just think it's fascinating. And do you agree with me on the Major League Baseball? And we're talking with Frank Isola, where it seems like, Frank, and I'm curious if you agree with me, when you look at Major League Baseball, the Marlins have their issue and the media is like sharks with blood in the water. They all come swarming and they're like, oh my God, there's no way we can play. What in the world is Major League Baseball thinking? And then when Rob Manfred came out and kind of made a strong statement saying, hey, we're going to figure out a way to play. I know the Cardinals still have their issue, but it was like all it took was somebody in a position of power to stand up strong and actually say, no, we're not going to turn tail at the first sign of failure. We're going to try to figure out a way to play. And the media eventually just all kind of disappeared. And I don't know about you, but yeah, I hear very little about the idea of Major League Baseball needing to be canceled now. It's like you just have to stare down that story for 2 or 3 days, and then the media realizes you're not going to buckle, and they move on. Am I crazy, or do you kind of get that sense too?
I think if you go back to April, or maybe it was early May or some part of May when Germany was going to start up and their teams were back training, the same thing happened in England with the Premier League. There were players testing positive that were in camp, and right away the feeling was, oh, see, this is why you're not going to be able to pull it off. And they kind of forged ahead, and I think that's always been baseball's thought. And remember, too, I think that the baseball commissioner went into it thinking, okay, if we're not going to play in a bubble scenario, we're going to have a situation where there's going to be positive test. Maybe we'll have to shut down that team for a certain amount of games. We know that everyone's not going to play 60 games, because let's face it, a 60-game baseball season. That's not enough games. Can you at least play, 81, play half the season? So I think baseball went into it knowing, let's try to get this season completed. So clearly, you're going to have teams that play 60. There could even be teams that play under 50 games. They'll just base it on winning percentage. That's why they'll have more teams in the playoffs. If you're going to go to a format where you don't have a bubble, and college football will be like this too, you have to be willing to kind of forge ahead and just whoever tests positive, you kind of quarantine, you do the contact tracing and everything like that. But I do think when baseball started out, and you know what, here's the thing too with baseball. They didn't create enough goodwill because while all this stuff was going on and millions of people across the country were losing their jobs, they were fighting over money.
Yep.
And nobody wanted to hear that. And that's really where baseball blew it. Baseball should have done everything they could to get back by July 1st. Because it was before all the other sports had started. They would have had some time to themselves. And it is tough, Clay, when you watch baseball and you see some of these. For whatever reason, an empty baseball stadium just looks so much different than what they have with the NBA in Orlando.
I agree completely.
What they're doing with the NHL. It's jarring to see Wrigley Field and, Fenway Park, Yankee Stadium, even though nobody sits behind home plate anymore at Yankee Stadium. But it's jarring to see those places empty.
There's no doubt. Final question for you, and we're talking Frank Isola at the Frank Isola. We've now got at least the preliminaries for the NBA playoffs. How would you assess the bubble as its return has been for the NBA in general? Do you think it's been a positive? Do you think it's been a negative? Now that we're now moving into the playoffs and we know what it's going to look with the playoff, the play-in games, 8-9, all that set up, how would you assess the overall bubble initial part before we get to the playoffs?
I think it's very good. They're going to be getting rid of, it will be five teams after tomorrow will be heading home, and then you'll have another team of 16 once that 8-9 playing game is done. Notice though, you haven't seen a lot of pictures of guys fishing, playing all kinds of games and stuff. The players have been down there now 6 weeks, so I think I could see guys getting restless, and I got to be honest with you, Clay. They came out with the story the other day about families, like who's allowed to come down after the first round. So now you're going to have a scenario with some players with wives and kids, a lot of players with girlfriends. Are you allowed to bring multiple girlfriends down, your buddies? Things could get a little hairy, and you know this because you and I have been in this scenario. When you're on the road working and you have your family with you, it's not that easy. Like, when everyone else is kind of on vacation, so to speak, and you're working, it's a tough scenario. And I think for the players, there's no way that one player could say, I don't want you coming down, yet the rest of the team is having family members come down. So that element, they're doing it, listen, for the players' welfare, but it's going to be very interesting to see what kind of issues that may cause once you get. Now, remember, you'll be down to 8 teams, because it'll be after the first round, so it's fewer teams. But I think that aspect of it's going to be interesting in a couple of weeks.
No doubt. Frank Isola, go watch him on PTI. You can follow him on Twitter at TheFrankIsola. Listen to him on SiriusXM and on this show weekly.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at FoxSportsRadio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, it's Jonas Knox, and O'Reilly Auto Parts, O'Reilly, who are in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you'll find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, friendly. And by the way, I was just at O'Reilly not that long ago, within the last month, and guess what? Needed some help with the alternator, had some questions with the batteries. They helped me right away and did it right there in the parking lot. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit them at OReillyAuto.com/2Pros. That's OReillyAuto.com/2Pros.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge.
Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey, it's Jonas Knox. All right, game off. We got to pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying, flag on the play. You already talked about that, but there's just so much good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for time tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. Unique stickers you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes. Cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. Hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their new unique mini games like Digging for Treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go, so get off the bench and go download it now free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on! Hey, it's Jonas Knox. You've put it off long enough. It's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort. Performance tires for sporty handling. All-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation. The right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of BF Goodrich tires, shipped fast and free to a recommended installer near you, or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office and install them on site. It doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/sports to see their BF Goodrich test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews. And be sure to check out all the current special offers. Great tires and a great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/sports, TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
I mentioned earlier, late last night, if you weren't watching, I stayed up and I watched it because I want to see Damian Lillard because he's been just so unconscious with the basketball basically since he missed those two free throws late against the LA Clippers. And I don't know that I've seen a guy other than Steph Curry be as ready to shoot the moment he crosses half court. And Lillard doesn't even have the same height and size that Steph Curry has. Not that Steph Curry is a really, really big guy, but he is an awful lot of fun to watch, Damian Lillard is. And last night, he hit some shots that you saw him take, and you think to yourself, this doesn't even feel like a real game. And they were trying to defend him like he was the only player on the court who could score in a high school game. It's absolutely crazy. So I'm curious to see in that 8-9 matchup, I think the Grizzlies have almost no chance. Not that the Grizzlies can't win a game. They can. And I know they went to overtime earlier in the bubble with Portland. But the Grizzlies, I don't believe, have a very good chance of beating the Trailblazers twice. Now the question then becomes, how much of a danger are the Lakers in danger from the Trailblazers? And I just don't know because they're really kind of opposite teams. Right now, the Lakers can't shoot. The Blazers can score, but they can't defend anybody at all. So I think the Lakers win this series in six. I think that's ultimately the way that this all shakes down. I think it'll be the Lakers getting it done in six games in the first round of the playoffs. But if Damian Lillard stays this hot, you know that the weakness that the Lakers have is in the backcourt. And I really don't see them being very likely to guard C.J. McCollum or Damian Lillard well, which means I think Lillard will be going off like crazy. And we'll see exactly what he is capable of in a series where a lot more people will be paying attention, frankly, when he's going up against LeBron James. And certainly Lillard lives for the big moment, so we'll see how many big-time opportunities he will have to make shots late in that series. But I think the Lakers will get past him in six. I'd be very surprised if the Grizzlies win one. I would be pretty stunned if they can beat the Blazers twice in advance to play against the Lakers. So one of the few things that I've gotten right in sports predictions of late, was saying I thought the Blazers were the most likely team to emerge and end up being the 8 seed to go against the Lakers. We're close to at least seeing that become a reality. And we'll see. I'm curious. I was saying earlier that Mark Cuban, the owner of the Mavericks, came after me. I opened up the hour talking about that. You guys can tag him, at M. Cuban. I told him, you're welcome to come on the show. But one of the questions I have is, will the audience return for the NBA once the playoff starts in big numbers? Or is the NBA in the middle of getting woke and going broke? I think it's the latter. I watch everything. So I'm not a, hey, I refuse to watch because I'm upset about the players or anything else. I'm going to watch the NFL. I'm going to watch the NBA. I watch everything. I watch golf. I watch hockey, a little bit of hockey. I watch a lot of basketball. I watch a lot of baseball. We got the Braves on every night here in my house. But I do think that the NBA is really going to start to see this body blow of casual fans who are turned off by the hyper-politicization that they have embraced in a time where you can't escape politics anywhere and people just want to chill, have a beer, and watch sports. I really do. I think the MLS, you saw it. MLS, soccer fans are not known for being particularly conservative. When the MLS teams in Dallas and Nashville took a knee before the game started and the national anthem was playing, they got booed. And the fans all started chanting USA, USA, USA. One of the things about the protests so far has been there aren't really fans present, so it's been hard to gauge what the fan reaction is other than by looking at the ratings. I think there are a lot of leagues alienating a lot of fans by deciding to get political during the national anthem. I think it's a really bad move, and I think we'll start to see the impact of this as we move into the playoffs for the NBA. But we'll see. It'll be interesting to follow.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.